Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwood with you. And, you know, I like to sometimes recap and look back at what happened. And, you know, this was obviously a shortened holiday week. And as we look back at the shortened holiday week, we saw a big rally on Tuesday, followed by, you know, because of, I'll call it the relief rally, which was what I used on all my media appearances during the week, because it was China didn't do anything bad. Nothing bad happened in China over the weekend. And because China had opened twice before we opened once, there was a lot of concern. If you go back to last Friday, you saw some pretty good selling into the close, and you saw a rise in volatility. And of course, we had a big monster rally that never gave up. And of course, our markets then rallied. And of course, they rallied all the way till Wednesday morning. And, you know, Wednesday about sometime, they kind of said, well, maybe that's enough. And maybe we should go back to what we're really focused on, that the economy sucks and that there isn't any growth and that we have troubles everywhere. And maybe it's overdone. And I think that is more the view we take, because you've got a lot of problem out there. And the market is now in the sell rally modes. You know, you take a look across the board, and you know, the darling of the street, Netflix. And don't get me wrong, it's up a billion. Excuse me. But it's down 30% from its high. And while the market was flying higher, Netflix couldn't get off the deck. You've got, you know, a Tesla still hanging in up there. But again, you're going to see that if the markets are truly going to break down here, which I believe that to be the case. Now, again, I'm not looking for a monumental collapse yet. I'm looking for a market that is going to work its way lower, because at the end, it's healthy. You know, we can't go straight up, especially the way that we've gone up based on cheap money, merger and acquisition, stock buyback. And of course, you see that. And what we forget often is stocks like Apple. Now, Apple's a great company. I have no issue with Apple as a company. I mean, I wouldn't mind owning it. I wouldn't want to buy it right now, but I wouldn't mind owning it at some point. But when you look at Apple, and, you know, of course, we know they had their big announcement, and of course, it was a big nothing again. But Apple is telling you that the overall markets are not in great shape, because Apple is suffering. Now, Apple suffered first in 11 when we had a little bit of a sell-off, and of course, Apple went significantly lower than the market did back then. But those are the companies that are telling you that there's more issues to play. You look at Caterpillar, you know, an industrial company, affects a big part of the population. They're struggling. And when you continue to view from the eyes of somebody who's being objective and not opinionated, you will find that you have a better view from the top. You have a better view of the overall circumstances surrounding the market. And that's why we often talk about the technical trading, because the market, you can see, wants to work its way lower. Volatility continues to hang in there. Now, again, we've had some dips in volatility, but volatility is much higher than it has been, and it seems to be holding extremely well. You see the dollar, you know, kind of hanging in there. You see the bond market. So we have all these things, and believe it or not, everybody's kind of jockeying and trying to position themselves for, next Wednesday, when the Fed does nothing again. Okay, and I'm on record, and I'm not backing down now. The Fed is going to do jack because the Fed is gutless. They're cowards. They're afraid to upset the smallest part of the population. And they're afraid that they might create a little bit of a sell-off in a stock market. Now, that would be certainly something that I'm worried about because, well, I mean, why shouldn't I be worried? We're only up from 6,000 in this Dow to 18,000. Gee, could we use a little selling? You know, it becomes to a point where it's ridiculous that the Fed even has the nerve to talk about the economy like it's doing so well, like we're growing in leaps and bounds, but yet they won't raise rates. They're laughing in a room somewhere because of all the other trouble going around, so that they don't have to make the decision, because quite frankly, they don't have the guts to make a decision. That's it. They do not have the stones to step up and say the real benefit to this economy would be a raise in interest rates, because we know that the banks will not lend anybody any money, because why would they? You know, I've asked this on this show many times. Why would I wouldn't loan it to anybody? If I had the same deal the bank said, I wouldn't be lending it out either. Now, of course, I'll loan it to Apple and Intel because I'm not worried about them. But those aren't the guys that need the dough, right? The guys who need the dough, what we forgot about in this country is what built this country, what makes this country great, but what made it great was capitalistic entrepreneurship, where you could go out and start a business and you had a chance. Why? Because you could borrow some money from somebody and actually build a business by helping and paying other people to use their money. And unfortunately, the biggest source of that is the banks. And they aren't giving it to you. They are squeezing you for every drop. But they'll give it to you through your credit card so they can charge you usury rates. And why not? Okay. You know, I laugh at this whole auto deal. You know, everybody's bragging on how great the auto sales are. And I go, okay, good. Because they've got people that are gullible enough to believe that 0% financing is real 0%. When the effective rate is actually between 6 and 8%. So you may think you're getting 0% because all they did is deferred the money over time, but they're charging you a hidden interest rate on money you would have gotten back if you'd have paid for the car. So it's to them, it's the same thing. But they sell it, they peddle it, and of course, man, is there a lot of interest-free deals, you know, 90 days same as cash. And before you go out and jump and pay a 90 days same as cash, remember, make sure you can make the payment in the 90 days. Because read the fine print in those contracts, you'll be paying them for the rest of your life. Those are deals that are all one-sided. And we think that the economy is doing so well. We think that the markets are performing well. Well, now you're seeing that all of these crappy things that have been basically born from the Fed, okay, because they couldn't happen unless they were accommodative and they allowed them to happen. And of course they did. You are seeing now a total destruction. Now, again, I don't want to create panic. This is not to scare you, but the theory and what they have done has been very destructive and will take years and years to recover from, because they chose the sissy route, the route out of least problem for themselves, where they didn't have to answer any questions. And the route they chose was to stick it to the middle class and kowtow to the rich and the entitled. And that, my friends, will be the challenge of the economy going forward, because they're going to have, something is going to have to happen eventually, but we probably will see a QE4. We will not see a rate raise this year, I do not believe. I will stay with that opinion, because I don't see it, and I don't know where they're going to get it from. And believe me, I really don't think they have the guts to do it. To me, they are just a organization that tries to do everything through theory. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back after the break. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. The Bubba Show. Todd Bob Ward's. We'll be right back. Give it to me easy. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and always like to share what I think are some pretty good stuff. So let's go visit our friends at BNN in Canada. Me with Michael Hainsworth. Let's go to Michael right now.
What's with all the green on the screen? Let's get the answer from the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Todd Horowitz joins us from Chicago. Todd, good to see you again.
Michael, great to be here.
So what, suddenly we trust the Chinese that they're going to be able to orchestrate this soft landing?
No, I don't think that's the case at all, Michael. I think really what you saw today, Friday late, there was some very heavy selling and volatility percolated right at the end of the day where we didn't even get to calculate some of those numbers. I think this was the start of a relief rally that nothing happened in China over the weekend. Remember, they opened twice before we opened once. So there was a lot of cause for concern and a lot of people sucking down a lot of Tums over the weekend, hoping that nothing did happen. I think this is more relief. I think they then caught shorts stranded, and I think we saw what we saw. But again, take a look at the volume. We were at about 50% of the last 10-day moving average in volume. So this is just a relief rally that was short covering that I would be happy to sell into, and which I have.
Okay. Now, having said that, I sort of feel like, as we say in my line of work, I buried the lead. You've been telling us for the longest time that we haven't found a bottom yet on oil, but now you're covering your oil position?
No. I'm buying oil. I love oil. I'm a buyer of oil. I think that oil could, look, can we hit 37.50 again? Yes, anything is possible. But I'm a buyer. I own oil. I'm looking to buy oil. I'm looking for key spots. But I'm not going to get rid of my core position. I believe that when you look at it from a probability standpoint, if you have a much higher percentage to make money on the upside here than you do the downside. Oil and all commodities, you want to buy them under distress and you want to sell them when everybody wants them. And right now, everybody's telling us that oil is going to go lower. Now, you and I know one thing for sure in the oil business, right? If the prices continue to fall, we know that they're going to start cutting supply. They're going to get the prices to pop back up again. But is $37.50 a possibility? Yeah, probably, but it doesn't bother me. I'm still looking to buy oil, and I'm looking to buy oil stocks as well, because I believe that energy has seen most likely the bottom. We could, like I said, we could go the lower, but I don't care. I'm going to be a buyer of oil and oil stocks in these areas right here.
Well, we just looked at the price there at 45 and change. Even if you saw a 10% climb in the price of Texas tea, Todd, that would be five additional bucks, pushing us back up to 50 bucks. And every time we hit that, it's a psychological level that pushes the commodity back down again. Why on earth would you want to go anywhere near this thing?
Well, again, you know, when you become a trader versus an investor, but here I'm doing a little bit of both. But you look at that level, I know 50's there, but now as a trader, if it starts to fail at 50 again, I can unload my position and rebuy it back when it comes back to the 45 level. But there's always one of these times it's going to either break to the downside again and take that 37.50, or it's going to break to the upside. Now, I don't think we're going to see, I don't think $100 oil is in the picture. I'm thinking that by the end of the year, we might see $55 to $60 oil. I think the wild swing days are over for right now, especially because I don't think that the Middle East has as much impact on our oil anymore. I think troubles over there don't have as much trouble for us anymore. So I think it's going to be a much steadier product going forward from here.
I know you like Halliburton. Street consensus is there's 35% upside from here in the next 12 months. Is that a reasonable expectation?
I think Halliburton, well, it was just $47 not that long ago. So I think it's a reasonable expectation. I think one of the things you see very importantly for everybody out there listening is that stocks and commodities, they have a tendency to go too far in one direction or another. And when they get to a point and everybody's loaded up on that side, they tend to have a little bit of a spring back. I think we see that in Halliburton. This is its second trip down trying to test its low. It was on as low as 33 last week. So I think what happened is we get overdone on the sell side, just like we get overdone on the buy side. And I think Halliburton has a very good chance to go back. I mean, right now, I tell you, I'd be happy to see it go to 40 first, then 45, and then I'll worry from there. But I do think it has certainly an opportunity to go up 30 to 35% in the next 12 months.
We've been talking a lot about companies like Netflix as late. I think the last time you were in the building, you thought that Netflix was the blockbuster of the 21st century. That raised more than a few eyebrows on Twitter, Todd. Having said that, Apple tomorrow may very well, and that big announcement, have one more thing. Apple getting into the content business. How do you feel about Mr. iPod going to Hollywood?
I think Mr. iPod would do very well. I think Mr. iPod's got more cash in the bank than Netflix is worth. I think Mr. iPod could tell Netflix to take a hike if they want. I think really what's happened here is that people are now starting to realize, some of the bigger players, that this content spot, this streaming TV, is really something. You know, we've heard of Apple TV forever. They've never really done anything with it. But now, all of a sudden, Netflix is making noise. And look at the action in their stock before this most recent sell-off. I think you're going to see Apple in that space. I wouldn't be surprised to see Amazon, and I mean, I know they're in it a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, though, they go heavily into that space, and that might be part of the announcement you might hear tomorrow as well. I think they're going to go after their own content, and I think it would be very easy to knock Netflix off the block if they decide to do so. And I think you can see Netflix now down about 25% from its most recent high, and even today with the markets way up, the last I looked, it was lower on the day after opening 3% higher.
Good to have you with us, sir. Thank you for your insight.
Michael, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Todd Horowitz, Chief Strategist at BubbaTrading.com, joining us from Chicago.
And, of course, that was me with Michael Hainsworth on BNN. And, you know, I always enjoy the spot because they allow me to voice my opinion. They let me speak. And, of course, I do talk about Netflix quite a bit because I do think it's an extremely overvalued company. I think that they have outlived their usefulness, as we'll say, because Apple does have more money in the bank than they're worth. And if Apple, if big players feel that that's the space to be in, I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see them go into that space. I think you're going to see Netflix take some heavy abuse here. Now, could they be saved by maybe a buyout or a merger? Yeah, that would be a possibility. But overall, Netflix looks to be a little bit on the ropes. Now, again, let's not get carried away. It's still basically almost a $700 stock if you go back and take the split out. So it's not like they're reeling here, but they are down just about 30%, 25% from the all-time high. That is considered a bear market. And when you look at the history of companies like that, you know, one thing we talk about a lot here is it's not a question of whether they make money or not, or if they're going up or not. But the question is, at the end of the day, when you're not trading the MOMO or the momentum of a stock, at the end of the day, it has to make money. And that's what the traders a lot of times forget, is that eventually, if you're going to invest longer term into one of these companies, eventually they have to make money. And, you know, Netflix, I don't foresee Netflix making money. I don't foresee Netflix being able to stay in the space as they are. Now, again, I love Netflix. I think it's a great product. I love the content. I love the stream. I think it's great. But, you know, when you can have more money and find a better way to build the mousetrap, and you're looking for a place to invest, and you're in that space already, Apple, Google, Amazon, you can take and put a little beat down on a guy like a Netflix. Now, again, we'll see what happens going forward. But at the end of the day, I did call Netflix Blockbuster. I actually originally called them JDS Uniphase, but now I call them Blockbuster. Because when this is all said and done, I don't see them being around. I don't see them existing through it all in the model we see now, or as one of these high-flying momentum stocks, because typically either when you start out as one, you either build and you become real, or you stay a mirage. Now, Netflix, in my opinion, again, and I'll repeat, I love the product, but Netflix, in my opinion, is a mirage. Netflix, in my opinion, is nothing more than a nice company that's building a good product, but the product is not exclusive. It's not patentable. The whole thing doesn't work that way. And like all the other entertainment fields, typically the big whales come and swallow up the small guppies. And I think if the big guys decide that this is their space and they want to play it, I do think Netflix will get swallowed up, if not run out of the building. And that's something that we'll have to see, you know, going forward as we see. But I also want to remind you, especially my Canadian friends, but everybody, Thinkorswim. We've got the inn at Thinkorswim. We're ready to take care of you. We're ready to help you out. We're ready to get you the best rate. Built by traders for traders. Make sure that you send me an email at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll get you hooked up. Get you the best rate. And you Canadians, we get you the same rates they play right here in the good U.S. of A. So make sure you reach out to me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horns will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, as I often talk, and I know my show plays in a lot of places, and actually a big market for me is the farming community, the producers and the farmers. And as you know, I'm always trying to help you guys out, and I give you some good solid ideas on how to better utilize and protect money and make more money. And either you know or you don't know, but I also appear weekly or twice a week actually on RFD TV. And I'm going to give you a feel for what we talk about, because I'm one of the few guys that doesn't talk about the same rhetoric that everybody else is. I kind of tell you how it is, but more importantly, how to protect it. So let's go to RFD TV, Mark Oppold, and here's what I had to say.
In helping us do that, good friend here of Market Day Report, those of you who have been regular listeners and viewers know the name Todd Horowitz here. BubbaTrading.com is the website. He travels the country. And Todd, really, it's all about helping out producers. Well, anyone in the commodity business manage that risk. Is that right?
100%, Mark. You have to. The key to being a producer, a trader, any part of the investing world where you're putting money against money, you need to be able to protect that downside risk. And that's what we always love to do, is help, especially producers, to help them hedge and hold that downside risk so they don't have to suffer when things do get bad.
Right. Okay, so that in mind, the grain trade today starting higher. Corn, beans, wheat didn't hold all that. Corn has done the best of any of the three. But, all right, talk about a strategy we might consider here in corn, if there is one.
Well, I think corn, you know, just as a regular basis, it looks pretty good here. And I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that we saw what happened to China. And, of course, this morning, everything opened a little higher because the equity markets are higher. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a much bigger tie here now to the general markets now, because everything is so interrelated and we're seeing so much fear or jubilance depending on what China is doing one night to the next. So I think, but if you're looking here, you know, I'm looking obviously to buy myself as they go higher here, because I think that the report's going to prove true that they've already tripped the bottoms and accounted for the news.
Yeah.
But a producer should have some sort of hedge in place at any price, because you can do it cost effectively where you're really not paying for it, and you can use some sort of strategy that creates a synthetic bottom so that you don't have to worry about it if it goes lower from here, but you can certainly benefit from the upside if it continues to go higher.
Right, and that, I think you're talking about maybe doing some options work right there. Soybeans not able to hold the early advance. Does that indicate that the trend is steady at best or not?
I think the trend is right now, obviously lower. I mean, we've got that 860, 855 area where we played a couple of weeks ago. Again, we're playing China right now, which is not the right trade, right? Yeah. You can't worry about the fundamental details of China. We know that they're going to sell. We know that there's going to be some rally or somewhere. And the same news that is bearish today will be bullish tomorrow. And that's what you have to think about. Find a good solid level in which you want to get involved. And again, use the same type of option strategy to protect the downside here as well.
And we know we're going to hear some or see some big numbers from USDA in the wheat trade on Friday morning. No surprise there. Wheat, is it kind of a follower of corn and beans?
I think that wheat has really been kind of on its own for the last couple of years. Actually, it's been very wild. Now, I'm going to go into the report long wheat here, because I don't see how much more downside it has. Now, don't get me wrong, it can go lower, but I think that if there's a surprise at all here, it's going to be a surprise to the upside, and I think wheat has been the most compressed out of all of them right here.
All right, so again, quick look before we go to break, but Todd Horwitz, take a look at the corn trade, near unchanged at this hour, maybe up a half to three quarters. The December up a half cent. Soybeans lower at this hour. Beans are down a nickel on that November contract. And as Todd mentioned, wheat kind of on its own. And wheat is lower right now. December down 2.5 in Chicago. Kansas City, December down 5.5 near lows of the day. And Minneapolis, December currently down 0.25 cents, about 2 cents off of its low. We'll check back in with Todd one last time. Look at this. Portion of our Market Day report, taking a look at the livestock trade, and also helping us out, Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com is live on the floor at the CME Group in Chicago. All right, yesterday you were not all that friendly to the livestock trade, and here we go today. Not that one day makes a difference, but you still see the downtrend in the cattle and the hog complex.
I think we work tremendously lower in the cattle markets, certainly. I think what you've seen is what we talked about yesterday. We had a little bit what we call a dead cat bounce. We had a nice big juicy up move. And remember, when you see those moves that are so powerful that you think, how could I miss this move? I got to get in there and buy. Remember that those are being fueled by people that are stuck. Those are being fueled by people that try to short the market into the hole. And that's the biggest thing you have to take in play here, is the emotion when you're getting involved here. And traders especially get very emotional. And when they get stuck, they start chasing. And you saw that. Now we've seen much calmer trade today, but very similar to the equity markets. The equity markets were stronger this morning and now weaker right now. And I think cattle itself, both live and feeder, are going to be weaker as we go deeper into the season, deeper into the winter. I think you're going to see significantly lower prices.
Okay. I heard an acronym, GMO, not the grain trade, but it was get me out, was what it stood for. You probably heard that long ago, but I just heard it for the first time about a week or so ago, the GMO trade. All right. So you're not too friendly in the cattle. How about the hog, lean hog complex?
You know, the hogs are perplexing right where they are now. I mean, again, I've been friendly to the hogs the entire season, basically. But up at this level, I can't imagine trying to be a buyer up here. I'm not a seller, but I don't think I can buy up here. There's too much. They've come too far, and we've really got to clear through December, because we have a major backwardation going back into December. So I think there could be some pressure here before it's all said and done. If we could pull back before then to 64 or so, 62, I'd be interested in being a buyer. But right now, I'd stay neutral the hog market and sell in the cattle market.
Very good. Todd, thanks for the information, as always.
Thank you.
And is BubbaTrading.com. Our listeners and viewers want to find out more about Todd Horwitz. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. BubbaTrading.com. We write a lot about everything and make sure we're there to help you out, take care of your money. And that's what it's all about.
All right. Well, we appreciate that. Todd Horwitz from the CME Group in Chicago. All right.
And of course, it is about your money, and it is about wanting to make sure that we help you. And that's why we do some of these special webinars. And we're actually now offering a new hedging webinar for either your the stuff you produce, you farmers, or for your equity portfolios as well. This is something that we're now bringing out to the public, something we've done privately for many years, of teaching the big advisors how to hedge their portfolios. But we want to now bring it to the public. We want to bring it to you. It's something that we do. And if you want more information, all you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I'll be happy to give you the details of that. But we've got some great success stories. And again, it's really about how to avoid the volatility to the bottom of the markets when there is turbulence, and how to benefit when we're going up, and at the end of the day, without taking any dramatic risk or giving up a big portion of your profit. So you go ahead and email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll help you with that. But as we look ahead to the report, again, as you know or don't know, I am not a big news guy. I believe that most likely everything is priced in. There's always the chance for a surprise. But basically, I can basically only see the report pushing the markets higher, not lower. Now, again, I'm not guaranteeing it, I would say, but that would be the direction that I'd want to play based on how compressed and how depressed the markets are there right now. I would see only an opportunity to really want to trade this from the upside of the market. I don't look and see a big edge or a big percentage in trying to play it from the downside, because I think you'll see that, yes, they could go down a little, but they have a chance to go up a lot. And that's always, you know, when we're looking at markets, we're trying to play the probabilities. Very much what you do when you find the right time to plant, you find the right time to harvest. Everything is in trading it or investing in it. It's the same thing. You're trying to find the right opportunity that, again, helps you create a more successful opportunity. And that is where we come in, is we help you become more successful at what you're doing. And that's, you know, one of our key sources is to help the individual, because for years the individual has been left kind of holding the bag, so to speak. And, you know, we don't like to have you holding the bag. We want to make sure that you have as much information and as much opportunity to do what everybody does, because it shouldn't matter whether you're, you know, a huge operation or a small operation. You should be able to have the same benefit no matter where you are. And that's kind of what we do at Bubba Trading, is we make sure that you always have the equal opportunity to help yourselves become better at what you do. So you look at markets and you understand where they're going, and there's a lot of bad strategies out there that you guys get trapped in, and we want to make sure that never happens to you again. So go ahead and reach out to me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will be more than happy to include you in on some of our webinar specials and some things we do, and we actually go into individual work as well to help you become better at what you do, because you should be worried about bringing in the crop, and we'll help you manage the financial part of it, because at the end, it always comes back down to the money, right? The life comes down to the money. That's why you're doing it. You know, you may love farming, but you're doing it so you can feed your family and you can take care of business. And that's where we come in. So make sure you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll be happy to hook you up and show you what we can do. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break, but make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. There's a lot of great articles, as always, up there for you. And as we step out of here for a break, remember our friends at Thinkorswim as well. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And we're having such a good time with the media. We're going to go over and switch over to Kitco, a company we'll be doing a webinar for shortly. And for all you Kitco people, it's a great company. We love it, and we love being involved. And, of course, I've become a regular with Daniela Clambone on Kitco, and we want to always share those interviews with you. So let's go hear what I had to say about gold and silver.
Gold hitting a three-week low this Wednesday as markets rally. Silver continues to suffer. Joining us now from the CME is Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thanks for being back with us.
Daniela, it's always great to be on with you.
Well, let's talk about gold prices. The metal sinking a little further here this Wednesday, Todd. Is the metal setting itself up for further losses, or do you see buyers coming in at these levels?
I think you're going to probably see some buyers here pretty soon. You know, really what we've done here, Daniela, is we've really established a new range, which is about 1070, 1080, up to about 1140. Now, we saw one spike up to 1170, but really we're just establishing a range. Really, the market itself is getting tighter and tighter and getting ready to make a much bigger move. And I think everybody's kind of waiting on what the Fed's going to do, what are the rest of the central banks around the world going to do. In the meantime, gold continues to tighten up this range, and it's going to make a much bigger move. I suspect it'll probably make a quick dip down, which would be probably a great buying opportunity. I look for it to break to the upside here before breaking lower and making new lows.
And what about silver? Just below 1470, the gold silver ratio at around 75 now. How are the technicals looking for silver?
Silver, the fundamentals are great, but the technicals continue to break down here. But I think, again, silver is a asset I think you want to own here. I don't see any major problems. Yeah, we can work our way a little bit lower. But I think what you're going to see is if the economy is actually improving the way that everybody would have us believe, then silver not only is a precious metal, but an industrial metal would have a little bit more use here. I would be definitely a buyer of silver. I think that's the trade of choice here for me, because I think we're at levels and we have demand levels that have not been seen for quite a while. So I definitely look to be a buyer of silver, knowing that it could go a little bit lower from here, but knowing that I think longer term, it's going to turn its way back up to at least 17 or 18.
So, Bubba, what's driving this weakness? Is it still a question of the stronger U.S. dollar?
Weakness is being driven by many things here. Part of it, the U.S. dollar, but really more so the uncertainty and the manipulation of the central banks and their currencies around the world. We see China continue to step in and try to support markets. You're seeing the turbulence start within the equity markets throughout the world, and it's carrying through to everything, commodities, metals, the whole thing down the road. So as long as they are so uncertain, and you have people running those organizations like Christine Lagarde, who's saying, well, the Fed shouldn't raise rates, the Fed's saying, well, we want to raise rates, you get this and you get a market that becomes very unstable and very uncertain and kind of finds little areas to sit in. And until this is resolved, I don't think that we'll see any major trend one way or the other.
All right, and before I let you go, thoughts on mining, Bubba, in this price environment, what do you make of the state of the mining stocks right now? Are you getting in or avoiding them?
No, I think right now is the time you want to step in. You want to be buying mining stocks down here because you want to buy things when nobody wants them. If you believe in the business and you believe in the companies that are doing the mining, then this is a great time to be getting in. You're getting really what we would call a bargain here, because I think you're seeing the mining stocks have been way overdone to the downside. You can look at Southern Copper. You can look at, you know, FCX and a number of those that have just been absolutely pulverized going down, because typically markets do get overdone on either side or the other. And in this case, they've been overdone to the downside. I think this is a great area to pick up some bargains, and I think you want to be in these mining stocks as well as the physicals.
Always great chatting with you, Bubba. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Daniela. Have a great day.
And
this is if we go from Canada to Asia, because of course they called me from Asia wanting to know what was going on, and here is what I had to tell CNBC in Asia.
Appreciate your time. Now, I mean, help me figure this out, because, I mean, you've got some pretty strong views, but I'm trying to make sense of them. One, you think that the Fed is, you know, getting a little bit too optimistic based on the data that's been coming up. Yet you say that, the Fed is way behind the curve and should be hiking any time now. How does that square? If the economy is really that bad, why should they be hiking rates?
Good morning, Martin. I'll tell you, the problem is that they missed their turn a couple of years ago. But ever since, if they're playing the stock market, which they are, there is no other excuse for them not to have raised rates long before now. They are too afraid that the stock market will fall and collapse if they get involved in raising rates. I'm from the opinion that from a worker and from a business owner, I want to see rates raised immediately and higher because I want them to free up bank liquidity because banks are not lending. We can have all the low interest rates we want for mortgages and for lending, but if the banks aren't going to free up the cash, you're not going to get it. Now, from the Fed standpoint, I believe that they are gutless and they have no choice and they will not raise rates this year because they're too afraid of their shadow and they're too afraid that the stock market will fall. And I just want to know when in the mandate it says that they're supposed to worry about the stock market. They're supposed to worry about the monetary policy. Mm. And if the growth is what they say it is, I mean, 5.1 unemployment, but we have the lowest job participation rate since 1977. We're getting a lot of minimum wage and service jobs. That does not build a good, solid economy. And that is not good for the middle class.
Well, you got a point there because, I mean, about a third of the new jobs created in the month of August was from health care. The rest of it, you're right, was basically lower wage paying retail and the like, et cetera. So here's the thing. You know, if you think the Fed has missed the boat, one, and they're going to have to resort at some stage to QE4. You know, that's not going to be helping the dollar, right? So why on earth would you be continuing to buy, or why on earth would you be buying energy, A, and also commodities and selling equities? Because, I mean, you know, dollar goes doesn't go up. That's not going to do much for the price of commodities, which have already collapsed as an asset class this year.
No, that is correct, and I believe in the commodities play is a much longer-term play. I believe that the whole financial engineering, which we see worldwide, that has been brought on has pummeled the commodities. Now, yeah, they can go lower, and I wouldn't be surprised, but I'd be willing to start buying commodities down at these levels because, in my eyes, these are depressed levels, and we're going to see at least a hold here, if not some sort of a rally. Now, when you look at the overall picture, and why do I want to sell equities? Because I believe that finally, I think you're seeing that traders and investors alike are starting to see that the Fed is actually weak, and that this is not good news for chasing yield anymore. Because what they've really done is they forced people that do not want to be in the stock market or the equity market to invest their money, and I think they're going to scare everybody out because we're going to realize, hopefully, finally, that they don't know what they're doing.
So, Todd, putting it all together, if you're really that pessimistic on the economy, you think the Fed has basically missed the boat, they're going to have to resort to QE4, et cetera, you say buy commodities, sell equities, energy only. One of your big focuses right now. Why not bonds?
Yeah, bonds are okay, but I'm looking for something that I believe that can give me large growth over time. Now, I think that if you look at the commodity space, if you look at gold, if you look at oil, you know, we're down at levels. Now, listen, we've been lower, but I believe that we found some pretty good basis points here and that you could be looking over time at a 30, 40, 50, 60% increase on your capital investment, which is what I'm looking for. If I'm a long-term investor that has money to put in and doesn't have to depend on turning that money over right away, I think this is the great spot where you step in and you buy oil, gold, silver. I think silver is probably the number one play on the boards here because silver is not only a precious metal, but it's an industrial metal.
Wow. So with your buys up 30, 40% over what, 12 months?
Yeah, I can't say. I can't give a time. I mean, I'm a one level of time guy. I can see gold. I think gold will probably see, let's say, 1,300, which would be, 18% up from here. I think silver could see $17, $18, which is about a 25 to 30% rally from here. And I think oil probably at this point in time, I don't see it going much past 55 or so if it gets there. But again, I'm looking at these as much longer term plays. And after we go through this bad time, because again, I still believe the middle class has never come out of a recession. I believe once we get through this, people are still going to drive. People are still going to eat. We're still going to have those needs. Those are our automatic needs all the time. So those are products that are going to be used, and we'll start to see, I think some price rises there, and I think you'll see some money move into those places as well.
All right.
Because I think they're tired of the equity market.
Okay, fair enough. Pretty high up on the hierarchy of needs there, those things. All right, listen, Todd, great to talk to you. Appreciate the time. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com, joining us live on the line.
And that was me with CNBC Asia as the Chinese markets opened. And that'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.